JC Corcoran Podcast.
Finally, two baseball superstars chasing their spots in the Major League record books. Tom Yamas on the epic quest for two home run heroes.
All rise. The judge is at the plate. Smashing homers and set to smash a baseball record.
The first step on the road to history.
Overnight, Aaron Judge keeping fans waiting until the bottom of the ninth to etch his name in the record books.
There it goes! Number 60! Slide over, babe! You've got some company!
60 home runs in a season. Just the third American League player in history. Now, tying Babe Ruth. And just one behind another Yankee legend.
Fastball hit deep to right.
Roger Maris, the current record holder.
I mean, does that ever register, or are you just playing?
Just playing. You know, the minute you start getting caught up in numbers is, you know, the minute you're not a team player anymore. You know, and I try to focus on being a team player.
And it showed last night. High fives after 60 homers.
See ya! A walk-off grand slam!
But a full celebration for the win. And across the country, another stadium on edge.
Many fans on their feet. A chance to see history.
Thunderous applause as Albert Pujols stepped up to bat, just two home runs shy of 700 in his career. For him, it's a race against the clock. Pujols said he'll retire at the end of the season, whether he hits the milestone or not.
I don't chase numbers.
One slugger about to say goodbye, the other in his prime. Just a few pitches and some big swings away from baseball glory. Tom Yamas, NBC News, New York.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, September 22nd, 2022, 47 days until the midterms clusterfuck. How are you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. That segment there that I played for the network news there. And then this, I find that very, very interesting that they tagged the news. The kicker last night was, you know, Major League Baseball story, including the story of Albert Pujols. You know, that doesn't happen that often. So that's pretty cool. But, you know, it would have been nice if I would have been able to, at the end of that segment, play you audio from Albert hitting one or two home runs last night. Not only did he not do that, he was one of only two players who got hits for the Cardinals last night. This guy had a no-hitter going through six. The Cardinal bats have gone ice cold. I don't know what the final number is, but the Cardinals at one point, I think it was at the sixth inning last night. Yeah, because I put it up. There's something like 44 straight innings where the Cardinals have not scored an earned run. 44. You know, there's nine innings in a game. Now, a couple of things. Good pitching stops good hitting. And we've been facing some pitchers lately who really have it going on. So that's definitely part of it. But yeah, this is not good. You know, you got guys like Goldschmidt, Arenado. You know, when their bats start going cold, that's cause for concern, especially after 44 straight innings. And then, like I said last night, you know, this guy's got a no-hitter going, and Albert breaks it up. Two hits on the night. Cardinals lose again. Milwaukee wins again, by the way. One less game now for Albert to try to hit, 699 and 700. And they'll try it again tonight in San Diego. Blake Snell, the Padres pitcher last night, left-hander, which is one of the reasons Albert was in the lineup. I'm in Florida right now. I wish I was back in St. Louis, but my daughter inconveniently scheduled her 13th birthday for Friday, and so it might not look like particularly good parenting if I were to leave when she's having her birthday so that it can be back in St. Louis for the production of Mr. Blue Sky, which is happening tomorrow night at the Chesterfield Amphitheater. Oh, my God, I wish I was going to be there. I want to talk more about that later. Heat wave is over. Matter of fact, let's check the weather forecast for tomorrow night in Chesterfield. Just see what they say. Oh, it's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be gorgeous. Really no chance of rain. High tomorrow, 65. Overnight low, 57. So temperatures falling through the 60s. Tomorrow evening, get yourself a little jacket or a sweater. And this show, Mr. Blue Sky, it's a tribute to the Electric Light Orchestra, and it will knock you out. It's like 13 or 14 people on stage. When they say Electric Light Orchestra, they really do mean it. It is an orchestra, and this Abby Stahlschmidt, I could go on for days about this gal. Mid-20s, tall, beautiful, model, and virtuoso fiddle player. She plays that electric violin, lead electric violin, and then there's two more violins, I think, and then a bass or two. So when this band is playing these Electric Light Orchestra songs, it really, really fills up the arena, in this case, the amphitheater, tomorrow night. Jeff Faulkner, great guy, good luck tomorrow night, and there's going to be two more shows coming up, I know, but I don't think I'm supposed to be talking about that yet. Summer, officially over, well, almost. It's the first day of fall, but it doesn't technically start until 8 o'clock tonight, St. Louis time. First day of fall, the autumn equinox almost always happens on the 22nd or 23rd. Sometimes it's the 21st or 24th because of leap years, but not that often. Last time was 1931, and it won't happen again until 2092. Equinox means equal night, but we don't really get exactly 12 hours of daytime today. It's more like 12 hours and 10 minutes, but who's counting? There is a day when it happens, though, called the equilux, which I've never even heard of. For most of the United States, it's next Monday or Tuesday. The word fall, by the way, comes from the old saying, the fall of the leaves. A poet in England used it in the 1600s, and it caught on for a while. Americans kept saying it. It shortened it to fall, but most British people say autumn. Fall foliage, or as some people say, foliage, which is wrong, is going to hit hard. And when you don't live in St. Louis full time, you really do miss it. No question about it. You miss it. Especially that drive up the Great River Road into Pere Marquette State Park. It's another thing that people mispronounce. They say Pierre State Park. It's not. It's Pere Marquette. P-E-R-E. That's not Pierre. That's Pere. And, you know, people have been mispronouncing it for decades. And now the foliage is about to hit hard. The site SmokyMountains.com posts a map each year that shows when to expect it. Northern states will peak in the early to mid part of October. A few southern states won't peak until mid-November. How many leaves fall every year? Well, you can't possibly know that, but somebody, you know, ballparked it. They say 200 billion trees in the U.S., 200,000 leaves each, so about 40 quadrillion leaves. That's what falls. Also, be careful driving today. The first day of fall, the sun rises and sets exactly east to west. A lot of major roadways are oriented east to west, so many of us are driving directly into the sun on the commute. Why did I say us? I'm not driving anywhere. But speaking of travel, do many of you remember the fact that Dave Murray, and I just talked to him yesterday, as a matter of fact, because I said, watch the fuck out. Next, Wednesday, Thursday in there, because get this hurricane that looks like it's coming directly into the Gulf of Mexico. Probably won't know details about the path until the tail end of the weekend, but I will tell you this, that on television down here in Florida, it's all they're talking about. Lead story on the late news last night. So they're getting concerned about it because, you know, they have those computer models. It looks like a plate of spaghetti, but they all are heading in basically the same direction, which is right into the Gulf of Mexico. And then after that, you never know. It's way too early to know where this thing is going. But again, the computer models are cause for concern. Not going to bother you. You know, it could fuck up my week next week. We told you the story yesterday about the fact that lawsuits flying around involving Journey, Neil Sean and Steve Perry, legal action. Neil Sean says the whole thing is total crap. And it's too bad, too, because, I don't know, maybe it was a week or so ago where we were hearing stories that maybe there was going to be some sort of massive journey tour that would involve Steve Perry. Sure doesn't seem like it now. The lesbians and even the straight girls in prison in Spain are disappointed today. It looked like they were going to bring up Shakira on massive tax fraud, and she won the court case last week, apparently has been completely exonerated, and so will not be going to prison, but it looked really bleak there for a while. Can you imagine that ass shaking in the shower in a female prison? Hips don't lie. Looks like just about everybody's coming back for the fourth Beverly Hills Cop movie. That could be interesting. Got Thursday Night Football tonight on Amazon. Here we go. Here we go with these goofy streaming things. There's a Cardinal game, too. It might even be tomorrow night. I got to double check this where, you know, again, you know, you pay all this money, and it's a lot of money, too, to be able to watch the Cardinals and the Blues. You know, get the Bally's package or the MLB package if you live outside of St. Louis. And then they're like, whoops, you fucked up. You trusted us. You got to watch this game on Amazon NFL. You know, you're going to be watching games on a pay-per-view basis for all NFL games within the next, I would imagine, 2 years. Yep, there it is. There it is. Tomorrow night, the Cardinals-Dodgers game, you have to watch it on Apple TV. Big pain in the ass. Big pain in the ass. Until late last night, I was unaware of the fact that there is a Mount Olympus on Mars. And I put up a picture last night from the, was it the Webb? Yeah, I guess it was the Webb telescope. Got, there's something going on, too, you know, because they put up the Webb telescope last Christmas. And that thing is, you know, sending back these unbelievable pictures. And then, but all of a sudden, they're like, oh, no, the Hubble's still out there. Look at the, we got a camera, too. Look at this, look at this. It's almost like they're trying to compete with one another. But this picture of Mars, just incredible. Just incredible. Yeah, here we go. Here's the story I was referring to. This was out of the New York Post. Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NHL may orchestrate a buyout of the nation's dominant owner of regional sports TV networks, whose shaky finances pose an increasing threat to their teams. The trio of pro sports leagues are expected to soon begin talks with Diamond Sports, which operates 21 regional Bally sports networks that account for more than half of the local broadcast markets around the country. Translated, they're just going to buy up everything and then you got to go to them and it's going to cost you more money. This picture of Pat Sajak is really upsetting people. And when I posted it, I figured that it might piss a couple of people off. I had not seen this picture before. Now, let me tell you a story about Pat Sajak. Pat Sajak grew up about 5 miles from me on the south side of Chicago, a little town called Cicero, Illinois. And, you know, he was in Vietnam. He didn't see action because they were like, this guy's pretty funny. Put him on Armed Forces Radio. So Pat Sajak had a daily radio show, and, you know, he would talk to the soldiers. This was sometime in the 60s. Comes back to Chicago, and, you know, this is the GI Bill, gets himself an education, moves to California, gets a little local, I think it was a little local cable talk show of some sort in Southern California. And next thing you know, Chuck Woolery, after one season of Wheel of Fortune, sits down for whatever reason, and they call up Pat Sajak, and the rest is history. At one point, I don't know what the numbers are now, but at one point back in the 80s, 44 million people a night were watching Wheel of Fortune. 44 million people every single night. 44 million. And he handled the whole thing with grace. You know, he didn't really do anything to, you know, embarrass himself. There's a lot of talk show hosts and game show hosts and everything, and you're like, oh, Christ, just shut up. But, you know, he did a pretty nice job. He seemed to have a calming effect for the contestants that came in. And I know a little something about this because back in the 80s, Channel 5, which is where I was working at the time, sent me to California for a week to just hang out on the set of Wheel of Fortune. So every day, you know, we'd go in with a camera crew. We showed the entire process. It was a 5-part series. I was on the 10 o'clock news for 5 straight nights doing this 5-part series on the making of Wheel of Fortune. And they gave us total, complete access. I crawling around the rafters, getting a shot of the wheel spinning from, you know, way up in the air, 30 feet. And I had known Vanna a little bit because we had had her in the studio in St. Louis. She had done something before she was famous. Her last name, by the way, is Rosic or Rosic, R-O-Z-I-C-H. And I don't even think her first name is Vanna, but that's neither here nor there. So anyhow, we're just running around just shooting all this video, come back to St. Louis, put these five pieces together, and people were like, this is really cool. And Pat Sajak could not have been nicer. And again, we knew each other a little bit because we had also had him in the studio in St. Louis because the Sally Jesse Raphael show used to tape in the auxiliary studio at Channel 5. She had a little office down the hall right next to the sports department. She had her staff in there. And I had no gaydar at the time. And they had this this gal from St. Louis. She was the cutest thing ever. Oh, my God. I was firing on her left and right. You could never do that today. She would have gone to HR, you know, after the first two times. But I was all over this chick. I wanted to date this girl. Oh, my God. She was so cute. No gaydar whatsoever. Finally, a couple of years later, it's like, there was a reason that that Hallie didn't go out with you. I'm like, why? What? She's gay. I'm like, what? Made me feel a little better, I guess. But I'm getting way off the track here. Gosh, you think? Jane said, so the point of this whole thing being is you never find a nicer guy than Pat Sajak. You know, and again, we had the Chicago thing. We had sort of known one another. You know, he knew that I knew Vanna. They were just wonderful to me, and Pat Sajak couldn't have been nicer. So now, fast forward to, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, because we're talking about stuff that was happening in the mid-80s. But now, somewhere in the early 2000s, I don't know, and the U-Man and I are down at spring training in Florida, and somebody says, did you see Pat Sajak is here? I'm like, really? And so I looked around, and sure enough, I found him. And I approached him between innings. He was the little boy. His son appeared to be maybe, 8 or 9 years old. And I go up to him like, Pat, I hate to bother you, but sort of working this. And I don't know if you remember me or not and blah, blah, blah. He's like, of course I remember you. I still have the T-shirt. And so I sat down next to him and did an interview with him. Couldn't have been nicer again. He and his son were touring as many of the ballparks in Florida for spring training as they could hit. And they just happened to be at the Cardinal game that day. And you're saying to yourself, why would this guy still want to do this job? Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, pays very, very well. Number two, he can do that gig in his sleep. Best of all, number three, they do all the shows for the month in 1 week. So you got to do 20 shows for the month. And they just come in and they say, okay, it's the first week of October. You fly in on Monday, you record 5 Wheel of Fortunes on Monday, 5 on Tuesday. You do that all week. Thursday night, you're done and you go home and you don't have to be back in Southern California for another month. He lives, by the way, in the Chesapeake Bay area in Maryland, right on the water. By the way, you know who really liked Pat Sajak? This was back in the 80s. Who really liked Pat? David Letterman. I got into a conversation once with David Letterman about Pat Sajak. And he was telling me how funny he thought Sajak was. He told me one story in particular, and there's, different ways that you can do comedy and different ways that you can do things. So Pat Sajak is doing, by the way, Pat Sajak was in, it's either the Airplane or Airplane 2. I don't recall, but he played like either a weather guy or a newsman or something like that, because that's really what he was doing on cable in Los Angeles, and somebody said, here, we'll give you a gig. But he was doing the weather once, and David Letterman happened to be watching, and Pat Sajak, as David Letterman tells the story, said something about the weather. Look, it's going to be 114 today in Bullhead City, Arizona, in case you're going there on business. And then he just kept going. Now, that's one of those sort of throwaway lines. If you're not paying attention, you don't even hear that. But if you're really watching, you're saying, this guy's pretty entertaining. And then he delivers a line, let's go to Bullhead City, Arizona on business. That's like saying, I flew in from Potosi as soon as I heard. What's this all leading up to, JC? A couple of years ago, you started hearing little rumblings about Pat Sajak not being shy about voicing political opinions, and most of them very, very hard right wing. And it disappointed a lot of people. Not as much, though, as the picture that I posted, I guess it was 3 days ago, of Pat Sajak just grinning ear to ear, standing with his arm around Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, if he had his arm around, you know, John Kasich, or he had his arm around any of a number of Republican people that you would recognize, I don't think many people would have a problem. But, you know, when it's Ted Cruz, when it's Ron DeSantis in Florida, Lauren Boebert, or Marjorie Taylor Greene, that's different. And so people are very, very disappointed, very, very pissed. People saying, well, I'm not going to watch Wheel of Fortune again. Come on. What's that got to do with anything? First of all, you're going to continue to watch Wheel of Fortune if you've been watching it. Why? Because it's fucking mesmerizing. That's why. And you just realize, I just killed off a half an hour watching Wheel of Fortune. I did not intend to do that. But, you know, number two, why should you stop watching the TV show just because a guy is a Republican? I'm a Democrat. I don't like it either. But Jesus, I'm not going to hold it against him. Not committing any crime, for God's sakes. And by the way, I've come up with a theory. Oh, wait, I got to finish the Pat Sajak story. That's it. It's over. That's really the end of the story. People are mad about the picture. Back it up now. Yeah, I have a theory. Because I was watching a clip from a movie from the 70s, could be 80s. Yeah, it's probably 80s, called My Bodyguard. Chris Makepeace is in it. Chris Makepeace is the little kid who starred opposite Bill Murray in Meatballs. This was one of Bill Murray's very, very first movies. And it was a very, very touching story about a little sort of misfit kid. And I really can't give you any more information about it. If you haven't seen it for some reason, it's a great movie, a good movie for kids too. But again, I digress. The point of the whole thing is that in all of these movies from the 1980s, that would include Karate Kid, even to some extent Back to the Future, where there is a bully. And the bully just basically, the Billy Jack movies, the bully terrorizes either a school or a community or whatever. The kid's usually spoiled rotten and he's rich and he's got a daddy who's got influence and just thinks he can go around and push people around. Got a real mean streak, beating up, you know, kids who are, you know, a third his size in the cafeteria during lunch at school, you know. And then at some point, the kid learns a little self-defense, maybe a little offense to go with it, and beats the living shit out of the bully. And then the movie ends. That's what we need in this country. We need somebody to kick the living shit out of the bully. And we all know who the bully is. Instead of high school kids, it's the Republican Congress who are scared to death of Donald Trump, because if you disagree with him on anything, he summons his minions and then they come up with a candidate to run against you in the primary and you lose your job. So somebody needs to kick the shit out of the bully. And I would love it to be a woman, by the way. That would even be sweeter. And maybe you're saying to yourself, well, JC, that may have happened yesterday with that chick stand there. Letitia got up there and just said, you're a heap of trouble, boy. Oh, and Ginny Thomas, as in Clarence Thomas's wife, who was just batshit crazy and full-on QAnon, is going to be testifying in front of the January 6th committee. Oh, God, I hope they televise that. Please televise that. The Vic Faust story is over now. And I know this is messed up, but I actually feel sorry for the guy. I hate when I see anybody's career come to a screeching halt. There have been people who've tried to stop mine a couple of times, and it's not a good feeling. And sometimes I did stuff that, you know, didn't give myself much of a chance. But in the case of this Vic Faust thing, you know, what were they supposed to do? And by the way, what did he think was going to happen? We mentioned Tim Conway a little while ago. Tim Conway's son has been a very popular radio show host at KFI Radio in Los Angeles. And my spies out in L.A., thank you, Teresa, told me that yesterday on the air on KFI Radio, Tim Conway Jr. said he's trying to get a hold of Crystal from that radio station out in the Westplex and talk to her about the incident. He also offered her a job at the station. So, Crystal, if you're out there, get in touch with me. I will get you in touch with the people at KFI. You'll be on the radio in Los Angeles. about that. And here's another great story, incidentally. So it's 1984, I believe it was, and we were talking about the fact that Sally Jesse Raphael used to tape her show in the Channel 5 studios. Well, they would bring these people in, and the PR companies would say, well, as long as you're in town, we would like you to do this radio show. And so people like Pat Sajak, people like Bob Eubanks from the Newlywed Game, people like Tim Conway, who had come in to do Sally's show, were told, you got to go do this morning zoo thing on Casey. Everybody in the city is listening to this show, so go on over there. And we'd have these people come in. They didn't know what was about to hit them. And to be honest with you, most of them had an absolutely fabulous time. So much so that, well, maybe some of you will remember this.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Comedy legend, Tim Conway.
Hey, it's Conway. How do you say, guys? Just called to annoy you.
How are you doing?
None of your business, actually.
Now, I saw you on Entertainment Tonight. Who interviewed you?
I have no idea.
They made you stand outside in the cold, we saw.
Well, those guys were annoying. Yeah. Listen, I sincerely have told everybody after I left your studio and was totally embarrassed on what you want. It's a very unique show, and you guys are unique and funny, and I really do appreciate you just even allowing me to come on. No kidding. It's sensational what you guys are doing, and I hope that someday...
We get paid for it.
You get paid for it.
JC and the Morning Show, Graham.
Was that the birth of the idea of Tim Conway going back to Los Angeles and telling his kid, you know what? Have you thought about radio? I just came from St. Louis, .. It's entirely possible. The two most beautiful women in the world right now in the blonde department, that would be golfer Paige Spiranak. I feel like I'm in college again when I was hanging up pictures of Sybil Shepherd all over the place. I got pictures of Paige Spiranak all over the place. Then in the brunette department, oh my God, it's Emily Ratajkowski. I can't even think straight when certain pictures of her appear before me. And yesterday she took to the internet to basically blast Adam Levine, saying that he is to blame for whatever happened between him and that model. Here's the quote, and she's got a point. The power dynamic is so skewed, it's ridiculous. Like, it's predatory, it's manipulative, I can't imagine. And she's like, I'm getting tired of women getting blamed for shit that men are doing. Like I said, she's got a point. Oh, we were talking about QAnon the other day. QAnon conspiracy theorists think something big is happening on Saturday because of something a German politician said, plus an episode of The Simpsons in 1998. Maybe they're gathering at Dealey Plaza again, waiting for the Kennedys to show up. All right, late night tonight, Tyler Perry. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel's got Allison Janney. Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm with Colbert. James Corden is Taron Killam. Used to be on Saturday Night Live. And Seth Meyers has Alan Cumming and Bobby Moynihan, formerly of SNL. Birthdays today, Bonnie Hunt, Lover, 61. Scott Baio, make up your own jokes, 62. Joan Jett, 64. Debbie Boone. Saw a picture of her yesterday. She looks like shit. 66. Sherry Belafonte, 68. What a handsome female she is. Tony Basil. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. She still got it at 79. And Friends debuted on NBC on this date 28 years ago, 1994. And you've heard me talk about this woman before. Her name is Sarah Seidner. Sarah Seidner, she's a CNN reporter. And they've been letting her anchor some of the later night shows. It comes out at 8, 9 o'clock in the evening. And she's really, really doing a great job. I have been hearing for several years now that they've been grooming her and they see her as a pending superstar on the network, regardless of what happens at CNN, which I still think is going to have a major bloodletting at some point. But anyhow, I was just getting ready to say, boy, she's doing such a great job on CNN. And then just about the time I'm getting ready to put that out, this happens. They start talking about what would happen if you won, what was it, $800 million in the lump sum with that winner up in the Chicago area. It was something like $1.2 billion. You take the taxes out, it comes out to be about $700-800 million. And they started talking about, gosh, you know, what would happen if that was me? And they start with S.E. Cupp, who is a commentator on CNN. Here's the discussion.
But I would take the lump sum. Huh? I would quit my job. And honestly, I would have the most fun giving it away. I think that would be, yeah. I mean, who hasn't fantasized about who you could help and what you could do with that much money? So that would be fun. But you would never see me again. I'm sorry, Sarah.
Okay, I would stay, just FYI, with a smile on my face, because I knew that I could walk away whenever I wanted. I need something to do. I enjoy my
thing. I hear you.
But I get what you're saying. You're not a big fan of the lottery, I hear. The whole idea of it.
I'm not.
Do you have against helping education?
No, it's fun. It's exciting. I'm happy for
the dream.
We all want hope. I get it. But if you look at the numbers, I mean, you're 300 times more likely to be struck by lightning tonight than to win the lottery. And so, you know, I got a great friend, Lonnie Randolph, who was head of the NAACP back in South Carolina when I was governor. He fought so hard against the lottery in South Carolina because his point was, we all want hope, but this is giving false hope. And so this is fun to celebrate, but it is not most people's experience. And you look on average, people are throwing about $200 a year into the lottery nationwide, and it's a regressive tax. That's the bottom
line.
Debbie
Downer.
Is that point. To be fair, Mark, that argument has been made in my family as well. Steve, they have chosen to remain anonymous. Is that a consensus that we would all, if you play,
yes. So
is that the right thing
I
to
think,
do?
First of all, and it does give, like, we sat around in our family saying, what would we do if we won this?
Yeah. Isn't that a little bit more of the joy of it, that you can just sort of think of it? You don't have to win.
Yeah, the joy wouldn't suck to win $70
million. Money would be joyful, too.
But actually, in some ways, when you see this, because you also hear so many tragic stories of people winning a lottery
and
their life
broke.
Becoming destroyed. Right. So
Jeez,
bless
guys.
Them. Bless them for really giving it some thought and actually getting together with consultants or tax attorneys and others and saying, how do we go forward? So maybe if we play our cards right, whoever won can join us at this table one of these
days. I'm going to say something controversial and my family's going to be annoyed, but I like working for my money. I don't want to win it.
Sarah, you could have been a contender. All right, that's it. J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. 47 days remaining until the midterms clusterfuck. We are here every weekday morning right at about 7 o'clock. I'm late today. I apologize. We are reachable at JC at JCOnTheLine.com on Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Enjoy your day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran podcast.